We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for today is that just read from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. It seems to be one of the sad consequences of war that in the midst of battle and in between two warring parties, so-called innocent people often suffer. Women and children, the elderly, the infirm, such are often wounded, perhaps even killed. Throughout world history, certain tyrants have risen up who specifically targeted these innocent people as part of their battle plan. And at the same time, it often happens that those armies defending the innocent mistakenly wound and kill some of those whom they deem to protect. The situation in the spiritual realm is not all too different in this regard. In the heat of spiritual battle, it can happen that the real innocent ones, those who have been washed by the blood of Christ and whose guilt has been removed, these innocent ones can be wounded, sometimes mortally, even by those who deem to protect them. The Apostle Paul was extremely aware of this as he penned his words in today's text to the Corinthian church. In Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, he battled various sins within the congregation itself, evils that threatened its spiritual life. Titus later brought encouraging news to Paul that his letter had moved the Corinthians to godly sorrow unto repentance, he said. But Titus also brought some less encouraging news. The battle for the spiritual life of this congregation continued to rage. That tyrant Satan was now attacking the young Corinthian congregation from without. It seems that certain false teachers who claimed to be apostles had invaded the congregation, and in promoting themselves, they apparently went out of their way to discredit Paul and his apostolic authority, which is to say, they challenged Christ and his authority and the work he was doing among those people. The Lord again called Paul to this field of battle. Paul fought by way of a boast, meeting his enemies head on. But unlike his enemies, Paul boasted not in his strengths and in his superiorities, but in his weaknesses. A battle plan that can at times appear rather foolish. But by boasting in his weaknesses, Paul not only proved his superiority over the false apostles and proclaimed the message of Christ crucified, he also at the same time guarded against injuring the spiritual life of even one soul for whom he battled. While there are certainly any number of lessons we can draw from this text, when we place these verses in their context, the context of Paul's defense of himself over against the false apostles, what stands out quite prominently is the way in which Paul battled. As pastors and as teachers and as those aspiring to the office of the holy ministry, we can learn from Paul's example that by trusting only in the grace of God, which is ours in Christ, we too can defend the church from error, proclaiming Christ crucified, and at the same time guard against injuring the spiritual life of even one of those souls entrusted to our care. With today's text, we reach the climax of Paul's 4-chapter-long self-defense, and we hear him announce at the beginning, quite literally, "It is necessary to boast." It was to the Corinthian shame that Paul needed to boast. Even though Paul had accomplished the signs of an apostle among them, the false apostles, along with even some of the members of the congregation, wanted more proof of Christ speaking in Paul. And so Paul would again provide proof. But he made it clear that this proof was, in the end, nothing other than the proof that he had already provided. "While not a furthersome thing," Paul wrote, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Paul was about to reveal what was probably the most intimate and the most sacred experience of his life as a Christian. "I know a man in Christ," Paul said, "who 14 years earlier was caught up into paradise. In what manner? Only God knows. And this man heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Although it later becomes clear that the Apostle Paul was this man. In great humility, he spoke as if this event had happened to somebody else. So far as we know, no one else was ever given an experience exactly like Paul's. But as far as Paul was concerned, all this happened simply to a man in Christ. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. Yet of myself, I will not boast, except in my infirmities. Paul was not being insincere or speaking tongue-in-cheek by relating this amazing experience and then declaring, "But I'm not going to boast in that." Paul revealed this experience for the purpose of introducing what was perhaps his most obvious and his most disabling weakness. He was laying the foundation for his real boast. You see, the Corinthians had already displayed a tendency to elevate those who came with boasts. Yes, Paul needed to battle the spiritual evils attacking the congregation, but at the same time, he needed to guard against elevating himself beyond what he was, an apostle of Christ. Paul knew full well the filthiness of his sinful flesh. Romans 7, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Paul knew that the self-seeking nature of his flesh might cause him, even as Christ's apostle, to exalt himself unnecessarily. And this is a danger we all face as we live in flesh that is equally as filthy as the Apostle Paul's. And especially as pastors and as teachers and as students aspiring to the office of the holy ministry, we must guard against this same fleshly self-seeking desire, against exalting ourselves unnecessarily, because to do so is to diminish Christ whom we serve. And in doing this, we place ourselves as stumbling blocks in the paths of those we serve, exalting ourselves at Christ's expense and to the detriment of men's souls, souls for which we must one day give an account. Hebrews 13. The battle's very real. The battle's very fierce. For we do not wrestle against blood and flesh, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In this battle, we can offer nothing by nature in our own defense, let alone in defense of others. Paul battled for men's souls using simply the sword of the word. And he knew that fierceness of battle is no justification for sloppy swordsmanship. In his own defense, Paul could have cataloged revelation after revelation after revelation, proving himself an apostle of Christ. But Paul would not do this. "For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees to me to be or hears from me." For the sake of even one person in the Corinthian congregation, for the sake of the weakest of the weak, Paul would not raise himself up, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. It takes a tremendous amount of wisdom and a tremendous amount of faith in Christ and in his sacrifice to defend oneself like Paul did by humbling himself. By God's great grace, Paul had been baptized into Christ. His spiritually blind eyes were opened to see him who stands already as victor in this spiritual battlefield, Christ Jesus himself, the captain of our salvation. Unlike the false apostles and unlike you and I by nature, Christ made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross, where he defeated the power of sin, defeated the power of death, and defeated the power of that tyrant Satan. As Luther put it, Christ laid aside his rights and overcame his Father with love and humility, so that the Father had to put away his wrath and receive us into favor for Christ's sake through faith in him. And now you and I, along with Paul, having been baptized into Christ, forgiven, made new by him. We have received the adoption as sons of God. And now we see more clearly God's gracious hand at work in today's text. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to beat me, lest I be exalted above measure. It's been said that perhaps we're not told what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, so that we might more easily find our own thorns in Paul's and learn from his example. The author of Hebrews wrote, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? For our fathers indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Three times Paul prayed to the Lord, asking him to remove this thorn. And the Lord's answer, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Chastening from the Lord tends to prove one's faith and cause this faith to be found as the most precious thing. By way of a thorn, whatever it might have been, the Lord brought Paul to know the wonderful sufficiency of God's grace. Through such chastening, the Lord brings you, as he brought Paul, to a fuller understanding of God's favor toward man in Christ and for Christ's sake. This grace of God, which is yours in Christ, permits you to be tried, but not overcome. This grace of God, which is yours in Christ, never abandons you. Nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This grace of God, which is yours in Christ, supports you in every ordeal. And this grace shines brighter as pure, undeserved grace the more it is put to the test. Paul could not have asked for a more wonderful answer to his prayer, and neither can we. Therefore, in Christ, we can say with Paul, "Most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me," literally, tent over me. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." By way of a thorn for his flesh, Paul was taught to know and to trust the grace of God, which is his in Christ and which is yours in Christ. Knowing this grace in Christ, Paul could with confidence and with joy boast in his own weaknesses. He could speak of the greatest of his God-given revelations as though it had happened to someone else. He could boast in all that he suffered and endured on Christ's behalf. And by boasting in this way, Paul not only defended the Corinthian church from error, he did it in such a way that not a soul for whom he fought was injured in the battle. We see in this text an unusual thing, a battle fought in which the innocent ones, those whose guilt who have been washed in the blood of Christ and whose guilt has been removed, were not only defended, but built up in Christ. May God, through his word rightly preached and through his sacraments rightly administered, grant us wisdom as deep and faith as strong as Paul's, that we too might be faithful servants, capable swordsmen, who withstand and finally who stand victorious in Christ Jesus, the captain of our salvation. In his name, amen.